This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedalheads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
That's right. We're talking about episode 212, provisionally titled Balling on a Budget. And this is the Lotus Effect, so welcome. And you know by now that the show is made up. The content absolutely does not matter. And I'm Phoenix.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Niner gang.
Bang, bang, Niner gang.
Niner gang.
Who are we?
Fuck the Seahawks.
And I'm Phone Boy. You know. Anyway, and yeah, we know we'd also probably like to welcome our, you know, the people that listen to us, ever you listen to us. If you're listening to us, the best way to listen to us is, of course, on LotusEffect.live, where you can listen to this live Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. But you can also listen on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, however you're listening. You know, we welcome you. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, and don't freak out. It's going to get worse.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
That's right. You're probably freaking out because the Lotus affects everyone differently. And however and wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we definitely would love to hear about it.
I got mail! Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Now, we tell you about it every week, that we put a lot of time and effort into doing this show, and even more now, since we've started the Lotus Cafe, a video to accompany What's Phoenix Cooking in the middle half of the show, or I should say the middle segment of the show. So we run on the value for value model, which of course consists of the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. We know right now times are not very abundant financially. We're still trying to recover from the Democrats' bullshit. So if you do happen to have a couple of extra nickels that you would like to rub together and send to the Lotus Effect, you can do it at lotuseffect.show. Click the green We Like Money button and send us some of your fiat fund coupons. If you're like a lot of people who use Cash App, you can use $TheLotusEffect33 as the cash tag, and we will get that. We are doing a special donation drive for the month of January to support our wonderful pedalhead Wookie, who just got done having lung cancer surgery. So she's laid up on disability for a few weeks, and we all know that don't pay for shit. So all the donations that we're getting that come in now or in the future, you can tag it Wookie, W-O-O-K-I-E, and we will definitely forward it to her to help her to get through until she can get back on her feet and kick ass like the Jersey girl she is. We love her very much here at the Lotus Effect. Now, you also can support the show by going to lotuseffect.shop, where we have all of our merch smeared with our brand feces for you. You can also make a one-time or recurring donation there if you wanted to. Now, we did have a big, fat $25 donation that came in from Mama T for Wookie, so we would like to make her...
Oh, you the executive producer!
That's right. She's the executive producer for episode 212 with a great big thank you. And I'm sure Wookie thanks you as well. Now, as we said, we know right now times are tough, so you might not have the scratch to be able to send. And that's groovy. We absolutely understand that. But to make it where this show is valuable for not only you, but also us, the biggest thing you can do is just let us know you're listening. Send the act back. It only takes a moment or two. And you can do it by subscribing to our podcast in your favorite podcast app. You can find, follow, rate, and review us. You can also go to YouTube and check out the Lotus Cafe. Give that a look. Give that a like. We've got a couple of videos on there now of some things that have been prepared cleanly. And you can also go to Spotify, listen there, give us some information on what you think of us, or anywhere you get your podcast RSS feed from, Apple, Spotify, Fountain, whatever you're putting in your, however you put us in your ears, just let us know that you're listening, rate, review, etc. Now, the thing we monitor most often, probably multiple times a day, it's our own form of social media that we don't completely shit on and hate, and it is none other than Mastodon. And because you know I love jumping on Phoneboy's massive dong, you can reach him at Phoneboy at lotuseffect.social, or your own princess of profanity herself, Phoenix, at Phoenix at lotuseffect.social.
You might want to spell that for the listeners.
Phoenix. I would imagine by now that they know, but if you're new, you might not know. So yes, I spell it uniquely and I like it. So there you go. But if you want to send us a message on Mastodon, you can do it that way. You can also send us an email at feedback@lotuseffect.show. You can send us something in the snail mail. We like keeping the government employees employed for now till AI takes everybody's job. So if you want an address to send us something, hit us up in the back channel. We'll be glad to provide that. The best way you can provide value to us is just join us in the chat sometime. We do Rideshare Radio or 2.5 Bens. They alternate Fridays. They start at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central. We also do this shit show called The Lotus Effect Saturdays at 8 o'clock Central, 9 Eastern. We've recently changed it, and we love the new time slot. It gives us the opportunity to make the video for the dinner that we talk about during What's Phoenix Cooking. So it's been a nice change of time slot. But 9 Eastern, 8 Central for The Lotus Effect. And then once 10 o'clock rolls around, we usually get into what's known as Lotus After Dark, which is kind of a subsect of Studio 33, which follows The Lotus Effect directly after our content. It's a wonderful way to hang out with your friends. You can enjoy whatever your poison is and don't have to worry about getting stopped by the 12 with a DUI. And hopefully the Niners will not be stopped by the 12. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Now, another way that you can send us feedback or let us know that you're listening is to call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yeah, that is definitely boozy because it's Google Voice and it's always drunk and it mangles transcripts that usually end up as show titles, and we love it. But other than feedback, another reason to call 253-237-3321 is to weigh in on our weekly topic that we ask. And this week, we want to know, what is your favorite card game? Now, of course, I think everybody here knows Cards Against Humanity is definitely the Lotus Effect's vote.
Yeah, we'll pick a different
game. Yeah, we're going to have to pick a different game because obviously shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if you have something other than Cards Against Humanity you like to play, call or text 253-237-3321.
And next week's topic is, have you ever played D&D? I know there's a couple of our pedal heads out there. I know their answers. For those pedal heads, I want your best D&D story. I'm going to make it a little more challenging for you trolls. So let us know if you've ever played D&D. And if you have, give us your best D&D story. 253-237-3321, next week's topic. And again, this week, you can call and let us know what your favorite card game is. So I believe we've explained ourselves well. I think we should now take it from Mr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor. I can take it.
Yeah, but we're not going to take this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
That's right. When you give us feedback or interact, be respectful. don't be racist. That's my job. Don't be anti-Semitic. We absolutely will not tolerate it. And at that, I think the best thing we should do is take some advice from Leslie Nielsen.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah, they're counting on us to definitely not ever, ever, ever allow our health segment to be
brought to you by Pfizer.
No, I think we have a story about eggs, an excellent story about eggs. How they can help you come off Wegovy, cracking the problem of weight regain.
The incredible edible egg.
People come off the Gila Monster Venom, I mean GLP-1 drugs, for many reasons. Cost, side effects, or because they have reached a weight they are happy with. Growing numbers are looking for ways to ease off these injections or replace some of their effects with food. One surprisingly simple option worth considering whether you are still using GLP-1 drugs, tapering them down, or stopping altogether is the Humble Egg. Now, and in fact, actually, Vinny talks about it. It's a complete protein. It has to, I mean, it's enough to create a chicken, so it must be, you know, it must have everything necessary to support life. That makes sense, right? Because the central problem with almost all weight loss methods is weight regain. Because you don't change your lifestyle. After the weight loss, the body pushes back, increasing hunger and nudging metabolism in ways that encourage weight to return, driven by a powerful psychological and metabolic drive. Longer-term studies of GLP-1 drugs show that once people stop taking them, they regain more than half the weight they lost. Now, this rebound may be even stronger than other dieting methods because of how GLP-1s interact with the appetite hormones. Well, they also are Gila Monster venom poisoned. But anyway, evidence suggests that body's own release of the satiety hormone GLP-1 after meals may be reduced either because GLP-1 is broken down more quickly or because the body becomes less sensitive to it. Hunger then returns faster, making weight maintenance feel like an uphill struggle, and this is where eggs might help. They're naturally nutritious, providing high-quality protein that contains all essential amino acids, along with vitamin D and a wide range of micronutrients. They're also the most sustainable form of animal protein and among the most affordable. By the way, I want to make a comment because I've been getting our chicken farmers, which I need to go see again. They also do eggs and
Casey Farms.
Casey Farms here in our not so quaint southern town that we live in. But anyway, when I eat their eggs, right, they get their farm fresh eggs, and it's not that much more expensive. And honestly, during the egg apocalypse that went on a couple of years ago, they were still cheaper. They were cheaper than the grocery store for a little bit.
Of course,
because they didn't actually, they didn't up their prices or anything. But yeah, I can tell you as somebody who's eaten his weight in eggs, at times, the ones that come from the grocery store don't hold a candle to the ones that come from because the yolks are just. They just look so much better. They're almost like a bright orange rather than this kind of pale yellow color, right? And we know how these people feed their chickens. It's not a CAFO operation. They let them roam. I mean, they're eating species appropriate food. And you know what? It you can taste it in the meat of the chicken. You can also taste it in the fucking eggs. So I'm not saying, if you don't have access to that, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, eggs are, the quality of what the quality of what you eat is going to depend on what they ate. Right. And if they're eating, if they're eating, hot, fresh garbage. Right. Yeah. It may not be as good as if you eat something that is actually eating species appropriate, as opposed to hot, anyway, as opposed to whatever they feed them in fucking in the industrial food system. All right. So now this is where the eggs might help because I already talked about that. So historic concerns about eggs and health have steadily faded as the evidence has become clear. Yeah, cholesterol is not so bad. Earlier health scare mongering around eggs has been diminished in the UK, where egg consumption is rising with around 37 million eggs eaten each day, roughly 3 to 4 person per week.
Wait a minute. When I read that, doing the scan for the stories, my exact statement to that was 3 to 4 eggs a week. Shit. We kill 3 to 4 eggs a day up in this thing. And my friend who was on the phone with me was like, I thought you were going to say dozen. I'm like, damn near. At peak, I think we've probably knocked out 3 to 4 dozen in a week and not from baking or anything like that. Just simple consumption of egg.
Yeah, exactly.
I also wanted to point out something you were talking about before, that the story was highlighting with how, you know, your hunger comes back so fast and all this. Funny to me, I am 17 days food sober. I have not touched sugar. I have not touched any of the seed oils, grains, carbs, you know, above and beyond the carbs from like hearts of palm rice and, you know, the controlled carbs, if you will, the not so unhealthy ones. But I've noticed that I'm really not hungry. I literally forgot to eat yesterday till about 3 o'clock in the morning when I finished doing the mushrooms for, you know, canning, and turned the burner off to finally go to bed and let the canner cool. And I'm like, wow, I forgot to eat today because my body wasn't screaming and making me hangry because I'm not consuming all of those ultra processed foods or the sugar or the grains or the things that cause your body to go into this severe panic attack, if you will, and make you think that you're starving to death because it's been 5 minutes since you put something in your gob.
Yeah, well, and also to sort of pile on that fact, right, we were having dinner before the show, you were commenting on the fact that, yeah, I'm not that hungry. I just don't, but it's like, yeah, honey, your body's burning fat, right?
I hope the hell so, because if this thing goes up all at once, we're going to have an inferno.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, it was good stuff. So, all right, let's go on.
Yeah, eggs are awesome.
Yeah, eggs are awesome. One reason eggs matter here is their effect on appetite. Yeah, eating eggs has been repeatedly shown to help people feel fuller for longer and eat less at later meals, including among people who are overweight or obese. This is partially because the protein in eggs triggers the release of the body's own GLP-1, while also suppressing the hunger hormone ghrelin. And in this sense, eggs act as a natural GLP-1 agonist rather than a drug. The effect is amplified when the eggs are combined with fiber-rich foods. Oh, God.
Eye roll coming.
Yeah, such as whole grain toast, which further boosts GLP-1 release and brings additional health benefits.
And no. Also raises your insulin. But look, you know, don't look over here.
Yeah, exactly. This makes eggs a useful surrogate for some of the appetite-controlling effects of injections, particularly for people reducing their dose or stopping altogether. You know what
I just want to point out, you eat four eggs, just throwing a number out there. If you eat between 3 and 4 eggs, folks, you're going to be satiated. You're not going to need that whole grain or any other
toast. But back in the day, one egg was equal to 5 cigarettes.
I'm eating a pack of cigarettes a day.
Yeah, exactly. I eat a pack of cigarettes in the morning. Now, beyond protein, eggs provide nutrients that many people struggle to get enough of. And the UK population is generally at risk of low vitamin D intake, particularly during the winter. And a 2025 study found that people taking GLP-1 drugs were falling short on several key nutrients, including calcium, iron, magnesium, potassium, and vitamins A, C, D, E, and K. That's a mouthful. This matters because people with obesity may already have deficiencies in nutrients such as vitamin E, selenium, and zinc. Eggs may be a cost-effective way of addressing nutritional shortfalls, particularly for those using GLP-1 drugs. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is, I mean, honestly, if you can eat, yeah, I mean.
You know, there's also another really great way to get all of those key nutrients from calcium to vitamin K. Eat steak,
a big old steer. Well done. Yeah, that's exactly right. We like steak.
We have an entire freezer devoted to beef, y'all. I think we like it a cow.
Yeah, we like it a cow. What we don't like is this next story, but
no, but it explains a whole lot in the way that younger folks who are addicted to their fondle slabs act and the things that they're going through, because doom scrolling is now explained how the constant online negativity affects your mental health. Bad news has always existed, but smartphones changed how often the human brain encounters it. Doom scrolling, the habit of endlessly consuming negative news, turns rare crisis into a constant mental environment. Wars, pandemics, economic fear, and social conflict now sit inches from our eyes, refreshed every few seconds. This pattern doesn't reflect reality's full picture, but the brain processes it as ongoing threat exposure. Over time, doom scrolling effects reshape stress responses, sleep cycles, and emotional regulation. Many people describe feeling on edge without knowing why, or mentally exhausted despite doing very little. The issue is not awareness. It's volume, repetition, and lack of recovery time. Understanding how doom scrolling affects the brain helps explain why it's so hard to stop. Doom scrolling effects are rooted in how the brain handles threat information. Negative stimuli are processed faster and remembered longer than neural content, a survival mechanism that becomes harmful in digital environments. Constant exposure keeps the brain's alarm system activated long after real danger has passed. According to the American Psychological Association, repeated exposure to the distressing news increases our cortisol production and sustains stress responses even without direct personal risk. Their research on stress and media consumption shows that continuous negative news intake can heighten anxiety, reduce emotional resilience, and impair decision-making under pressure. Elevated cortisol interferes with serotonin balance and reduces the brain's ability to return to baseline calm. This contributes to irritability, difficulty focusing, and emotional numbness. Over time, doom-scrolling effects resemble chronic stress disorders where the nervous system struggles to disengage from perceived threats. The prefrontal cortex, responsible for rational thought and impulse control, becomes less active during prolonged stress. This makes it hard to stop scrolling even when content worsens mood. What feels like a lack of willpower is often a neurochemical feedback loop reinforced by fear-based information streams. Social media anxiety intensifies when doom scrolling pushes negative content into late night hours. The brain does not differentiate between real-time danger and emotionally vivid headlines, especially before sleep. This disrupts natural circadian rhythms and reduces recovery time for the nervous system. Based on a study conducted by Harvard Medical School, exposure to emotionally arousing content before bed delays melatonin release and fragments REM, rapid eye movement, sleep. Poor sleep quality increases anxiety sensitivity the following day, creating a feedback loop where fatigue drives more scrolling for assurance or updates. Doom scrolling effects on sleep include racing thoughts, frequent awakenings, and shortened deep sleep cycles. Many people wake feeling unrested despite adequate hours in bed. Over time, this sleep debt amplifies emotional reactivity and lowers stress tolerance. Mental fatigue also increases because the brain is constantly switching attention between crisis, opinions, and alerts. This cognitive overload reduces working memory and makes everyday tasks feel heavier. Social media anxiety grows not from one headline, but from hundreds competing for attention without pause. When the brain remains in a near-constant alert state, recovery becomes harder and stress responses stay elevated. Understanding these long-term mental health impacts helps explain why doom-scrolling feels draining on even quiet days. So chronic anxiety from prolonged activation of the brain's threat detection system is one reason. Increased risk of depressive symptoms due to reduced serotonin and emotional fatigue is another. Others include emotional burnout caused by constant vigilance without mental recovery time, reduced ability to feel calm, satisfaction, or pleasure during neutral or positive moments, heightened sensitivity to stress, making everyday challenges feel more overwhelming, information overload recognized by mental health professionals as a modern psychological stressor. I think that's very important.
Yeah, this is something that didn't exist when we were kids, folks.
No, because we didn't have constant input 24/7 being updated every 10 seconds. Greater need for intentional news boundaries to stay informed without harming mental well-being is necessary. So reclaiming attention doesn't require ignoring reality. It requires pacing exposure in a way the nervous system can tolerate. Short, intentional check-ins replace endless scrolling. Neutral or positive content helps rebalance the emotional tone. The brain adapts quickly when threat signals decrease. Many people notice improved mood and clarity within days of reducing their doom scrolling. Mental health improves not because the world changes, but because the brain is finally allowed to rest.
Okay, and I think I've been through this myself, right? And this is
I'm listening to my son go through this. I'm reading this article when we did it, and I'm going, that's exactly why this boy is not sleeping, etc. It's because he doom scrolls constantly on TikTok.
Yeah, and it's not that it's TikTok. I mean, you can doom scroll on any social media, right?
His
that
just happens. To be, that's it why
just
I
happens
named it.
Has to be TikTok. Yeah, but see, I went through this myself, and this is and the one thing that the January 6th quote unquote insurrection did, however many years ago, because I was on social media, and I will admit I was using Twitter and Facebook and a few of these other things, and I just saw the escalation ramp up, and I got to a point where I'm like, I can't handle this anymore. And now, because of my day job, I couldn't completely give it up, but I didn't have to have it on my phone. I didn't have to, you know, look at it all the time. And so I made it now, obviously, I could still get to it from a browser or something like that, but I intentionally made it difficult enough that if I needed to do it, and I still, you know, and even with the massive donk, I do it on a web browser. Why? Well, because the interface works, but I'm also not checking it all the time, right? I recognized in myself that this was a source of stress in my life and I needed to get rid of it. And I did. And I even and the other thing I did also is I actually reduced the number of podcasts I listened to quite a bit too, right? So in 2021, I kind of purged my listening diet of things. And even now, like, I'm very, very selective about what I listen to and consume. And of course, with doing a show, I still have to read the news. And so, yeah, I don't do it all the time. I go, you know, I mean, maybe like once a day or something, I'll go look at the news and see if there's anything I want to go, you know, or if I have a little bit of slack time sometime, but I'm not doing it all the time, right? It's like, you know, maybe once a day or twice a day if it's on some, you know, some days, but on some days I don't do it at all, right? But it's having that that space away from the information. Yeah, it really does help in terms of, you know, just like, you know, I don't know, it's improved my mental clarity to not get that noise all the time. And yeah, and even you know, that's even like, I've gotten to a point now where, like, even when we're watching our fine quality television that with the Mark Goodson seal of approval, I oftentimes have to mute the commercials because it's just too much, right? These oh my god, I wish, you know, I'm glad that they're glad Pluto actually shows you how long each commercial break is going to be, because then you can kind of walk away from it. And I actually, yeah, and that's, and yeah, being, consuming anything, everything all of the time is not good for you. We're not designed to do that. And it's probably making us all crazy. And I found personally for myself, when I stopped doing that, I was able to take a moment and just take a rest. And even now, like sometimes Phoenix and I need a minute by myself, and there's nothing with Phoenix, but sometimes I just need to get my own, be in my own space for a few minutes to sort out what's going on, right? And that's actually, so, you know, reducing the noise, right? This is what, you know, part of what, you know, I think it's important for all of us to do in our lives, because there's so much content out there we could all consume, and I'm glad that you're listening to us, but at some point, right, you need to turn it off, and you need to tune into what you got going on, you know, yourself, right? Because not all of everything you're consuming is necessarily good for you. So, whew. All right. Anyway, you know, I don't know. We got a few UK stories this time, and this is a UK story here. There's a huge loop. Apparently they've banned daytime junk food ads in the UK, but it's got a pretty big loophole.
Don't eat that.
Yeah. So new advertising restrictions on unhealthy food and drink have come into force in the UK, targeting products deemed to be high in fat, salt, or sugar. From now on, TV, radio, or online adverts that feature these foods will be banned before 9 p.m. The advertising ban is part of a government plan to have children obesity by 2030. Yeah, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. I don't know how this is going to help. It includes a range of strategies, including marketing and advertising controls on unhealthy food, changes to retail environments such as removing high-calorie foods from checkouts, and industry targets to reformulate unhealthy products. The government wants to incentivize brands to reformulate and promote healthier options. And there is some evidence that this approach can be successful. The sugar tax, for instance, has reduced total sales of sugar from soft drinks by 35% since it was introduced in 2018. Restrictions on promotions of less healthy foods in supermarkets and online retailers have also led to a small reduction in the sales of these products. Now, the government is generally reluctant to disclose the extent to which lobbying by industry has a bearing on regulation. All of it. Citing issues of confidentiality. However,
bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. However, implementation of the new legislation, which was originally due to come into force in October of 2025, was delayed and ultimately amended to exempt brand advertisements. Ah, here we go. This is where the bullshit comes in. In essence, companies cannot advertise a restricted product, but are allowed to advertise their brand. Oh, they do this with drug ads in the U.S., right?
Because this is called a greased up workaround.
That's right. This means they can comply with the legislation by advertising their brand or their range as long as they don't show a specific identifiable, less healthy product. So a fast food chain could show its logo or other elements of its brand identity but could not show its burgers or milkshakes.
Which seems really dumb when you think about the fact you pop a big golden arch on the screen. I don't need to see the Big Mac, large fry, and hunk of shake. I know what the fuck that place sells. So does everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, losing this appetite appeal in adverts may not be a big problem for brands. Some of the most iconic food adverts do not feature the specific food product. Instead of, like the old McDonald's ads back in the day. I remember these brand advertisements that McDonald's did back in the day. You know, they were...
Yeah, because you don't even have to hear it. All you have to hear is 2 all beef patty special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion, seed bun, yeah. And you know what it is.
Yeah. Well, you don't even have to, except they don't. Yeah, that's actually the product, honey. But I mean, no, they did.
Honey. But it's not showing it. If all you're doing is hearing that song, you don't have to see the fucking burger. You know what it is.
Yeah, but I'm sure that would be considered... okay, if we're saying, right? I don't know what the rules... I don't know what the exact rules are, but if they say that, they're talking about a product, honey, and that might be considered illegal under the regulations.
It says it can't show the burger or milkshake. Doesn't mean it can't describe it in a jingle.
Well, like I said...
This is called semantics, sir.
Yes, and legalese is by far the most evil language there is. Why? Because there's so much subterfuge in it. You know, there's a lot of double meaning, legalese. You want to talk about language invented by the devil? I think that's probably what it comes down to. Losing this, So instead of explicit images of foods, creatives can use storytelling and emotion to do the persuading. It now seems that the creative sector is chomping at the bit to meet this challenge by finding inventive ways to get brands noticed. When it announced the brand exemption in 2025 of May, the government said it wanted to ensure that the food industry has confidence to invest in advertising while simultaneously wishing to protect children from advertising of less healthy products.
Why don't we just try protecting them from the less healthy products by not providing them with access? Oh, wait, that would make sense. Stop bitching your kids are fucking obese when all you feed them is fast food because you're too fucking lazy or their schedules are so packed full because John and Jane have to be in everything after school and they have to be in so many things because we're just such a progressive and fabulous family, except for you're robbing your kids of their childhood by forcing them into all of these sports and social activities so that you can look important. Stop it.
Yes. Now, yeah, in any case, both of these goals can't be achieved simultaneously. The exemption is effectively a massive loophole and points to the government's capitulation to industry pressure. Like, we're fucking surprised, folks. I mean, seriously.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's on display, even.
Yes, it is.
That's the problem.
Yeah, it is completely on display.
Okay, they're absolutely not hiding it at all. That
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely. None of this is a shock or surprise at all, as we've been doing this for a while. The government is a captured asset, as we might as well say.
It absolutely is a captured asset, and what's not a captured asset is the Rev Cybertrucker, who every week provides us with a cavalcade of stupidity. So we're going to hear what the Rev has to say this week.
Hi-de-ho, pedalheads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's cavalcade of stupidity. And since I'm MIA, here's Phone Boy to take over.
Yeah, I think Rev is still getting his act. I'm not sure what Rev
is. I can tell you exactly what Rev is doing. Rev is on his way, come very early in the morning, to Wyoming on a job that is going to pay him a shitload of money every week. And all of his expenses are paid, from his hotel to his food. Soup to nuts, this man is making it happen in 2026, much like us. LFG, let's fucking go. So we love the Rev. And in his absence, we are going to present you a person who we have brought here to the Cavalcade before, but we love it, and we're going to hear from him again. So, Phone Boy, take it away.
There we go, yeah. So, James Barry Poole, which is was born December 18th, 1964, is an American country music artist who records under the name Cletus T. Judd. Now, we've played him before. He's primarily known for parodies of popular country songs, the Weird Al of country music, blah, blah, blah. And so, this is from his 1996 record. I stole this record, and it's called Skull, the Grundy County spitting incident. It's gross.
Sadie Bullis, call on, let me get me a can of skull. Well, we went down to the Grundy County auction. The sign said no to backer where we sat. My wife told me that I should spit with caution, or else we'll all wind up in a big old spat. And I said, hush your mouth, nobody's gonna mind if I pack my lip and ignore the sign, cause a little dip of skull never hurt no one at all. Then I've never seen anyone get so mad from a little bit of spit on his John Deere hat. But I spit on him once, spit on him twice, spit skull on the fella in the second row. Well, he turned around and nearly broke my nose. I got a big fat lip, two black eyes, should've just went and dipped outside. Well, it must have been about 8 or 9 more minutes until I pulled that can of skull back out. And I knew when I put my fingers in it that I'd just spit it out amongst the crowd.
Look out!
And you know, I really don't care if anybody minds. Pinched when your cheek and gum is not.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll play the rest of that, the full version, in Studio 33. So, this was one of those. Actually, you found this one.
So. I have I've been a Cletus T. Judd fan for a hot second, and also know the song that one parodies. It is a John Michael Montgomery song.
Oh, awesome.
Actually called Grundy County Auction.
All right, well, I guess it's time. Tales from Rideshare.
Yeah, let's do it. The most riding that happened this week. Yeah, you're all waiting for me to say it, aren't you? Too bad I'm not gonna. The only rides that really happened this week were the ones that I took across the mountain to do things like we'll talk about in Toast and Jam, because I just didn't work this week. I had a lot of other things that I wanted to get done, and I had the ability, so I didn't do it. But we're gonna talk all about it here in the Toast and Jam segment.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans.
That's right, and we're hoping your special plans are going to be to call 253-237-3321 and tell us what your favorite card game is. And while you're doing that, I can talk about what Phoenix is cooking.
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
Yeah, Denny's couldn't hold a candle to this, nor will they ever be able to, because I decided to make some carne asada bowls. I had some carne asada meat that I had marinated and stuck in the freezer for a rainy day, and well, it's not rainy, but it certainly was cold, and I decided that I would make carne asada bowls. So there's a video that accompanies it. You can go to YouTube to the Lotus Cafe and see the video of the making of this particular dish, but I can assure you it's
like an orgy in my mouth and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy, got it.
All right, yeah, when we did do this is, yeah, so this is, the video, of course, is now in a series. It's called The Lotus Cafe. We want to do a physical Lotus Cafe at some point, but...
That's right, so anyone who wants to donate to the fact that I'm trying to get a brick and mortar up and running so that I can provide the food that you see me cook on these videos to a wider audience of people who don't have to cook it themselves. They can just come to my establishment, take a seat, be fed like family, and leave satiated and knowing that their joints aren't going to hurt and they're not going to blow up like a balloon because there's no seed oils, grains, sugars, or anything you shouldn't be consuming.
Right. And I think, yeah, but we also wrote down this tagline popped out of your mouth before we went on air tonight. During the pre-cum. Making the world better one recipe at a time. I think that's a great tagline. We're kind of looking for a tagline for this, right?
I was toying with a few different things, but I really think that one's going to stick really nicely.
Yeah. So I have to say, working on these videos, and of course the one I guess we'll talk about the next one here, which is because we have a bonus.
It's a bonus episode.
It's a bonus episode of the Lotus Cafe. Yeah, you decided to make a calzone and decided to make it on camera, and so yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize the commitment that was going to take. And to be honest with you, when I don't have to set up all of my spices, my ingredients, my this, my that, cooking takes a lot less time. A 23-minute video, which is about what the barbecue chicken and slaw video ended up being. And even more specifically, the calzone video, which was just under 17 minutes, absolutely 3 hours worth of work between getting it all together, photographs, actually putting it on film. That's not including the editing.
Yeah, that's not including the post-production work that I did, right? So when we did this calzone video, there's an element we didn't do, which was the shop, because it was not really that's one of that.
Because it was a bonus episode, and that's usually what will happen in the bonus episodes, is there won't be a shop associated with it, because it's probably an episode where I've already got all the things that I need, because they're things I keep in the house, and it's like, here's a little, you know, extra for tuning in.
Yes, and as Klaatu put it last night, he said, yeah, this is the only cooking series where we don't see the chef.
But here's the thing. That's by design.
Yeah, it is by design.
And I'm going to be honest with you all, okay? Because it's not that I have an issue with being seen on camera. I'm not the star. The food is.
Yeah, and we're also showing you like how to prepare things, and it's a lot easier to do that when you're actually looking at it from the tit cam is with the GoPro.
The titty cam,
which is exactly where the GoPro sits on your chest when we're doing this.
GoPro is a very lucky instrument.
Yeah. So, and honestly,
Homeboy wants to be a GoPro.
Yeah. Well, I don't need a GoPro to go there.
No, because you're constantly manipulating my girls when you're trying to in under the guise of, oh, I gotta adjust your camera.
Well,
pervert.
And yeah, I mean, we've been doing and I actually ended up like paying for the freaking GoPro Pro, whatever they call this.
Oh my gosh, folks. Seriously, I listened almost for a straight week to this man go, I'm about to pull the trigger on this. I'm thinking about pulling the trigger on this. Because it really will make it easier, because it automatically uploads the video to the cloud.
I have to still hit a button, right? Because the camera needs to be put in. But
a whole button compared to the absolute pain in the ass it is to transfer off the GoPro onto your device, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it became kind of problematic, and I'm like, well, if they're willing to give me, if I can upload all of my stuff there, And it will automatically erase the camera. It just kind of made even if I never access the videos again, just being able to do that is like, okay, that was enough of a, and I can still get the videos if I need them in full resolution. So it's totally cool. Yeah, that's one of those things. I kind of did the math and went, well, my time is worth a little more than that. And we're publishing the videos publicly anyway. So the fact that they're on somebody else's computer as a, you know, with a backup, and, you know, it's fine. You know, like this is one of it's a business decision as to doing it. But it was, I have to say though, the GoPro camera, which is something I'd been hearing about for years, but never actually got one because I had no reason to have one. I'm kind of going, yeah, they actually did pretty good on this. I mean, and we were talking about this because it has a mobile phone app, as a lot of things do, but it actually is a useful app. And the reason why is because, when Phoenix is doing her stuff, I can see on my phone, right? And we can kind of, you know, I can make sure that we're, in frame and all of that. And I can start and stop the recording and do all of the things that need to be done there. So that's a much better way to do it. Having that in the palm of your hand, especially if you're not in a, you know, if you're like, you know, out in the world or something. Yeah, that's actually kind of useful. That can be kind of useful. So it's one of those things we kind of, I kind of did the math and like, yeah, I guess we'll do that. And yeah, but it helps. Again, it helps with this. And since we're going to be producing at least one video a week, who knew our mealtime would become a show, but here we are. Tonight we did the carne asada bowls and yeah, we still need to finish. We actually have to do, since that was
hopefully by the beginning of the week, we'll have that video out for you folks, because we have to make sure that it is worthy of the standard that we are holding ourselves to. And speaking of standard and holding yourself to a higher one, we want to revisit the subject of kosher olive oil, because we get the question often here at the Lotus Effect, what's the best olive oil to use? Now, of course, we always say Villa Capelli automatically, but a lot of people don't have the scratch to afford $150+ for a 3-liter tin of the best olive oil.
And by the way, they actually sell smaller bottles. You just end up, yeah, the reason why we do the 3-liter tins is I don't like having to pay shipping. And
yeah,
I also,
and honestly,
a 3-liter tin lasts, I don't know, a year or something. You know, I order two of them.
Right.
Yeah. It's just kind of better to do it that way. And it's like, yeah, we're gonna use the olive oil. It doesn't go bad. It is in a 3-liter tin.
Yeah, because this stuff is shipping direct from Puglia, Italy. This is not California or in the States.
Well, they ship it. They actually ship it from. They probably ship it in bulk to the States and ship it from the U.S. But yeah, it's produced.
My point was, it originates.
Yes, it originates in that. So this is one of those. This is one of those things that. So I was kind of looking into this, and I'm kind of going, something didn't feel right about it, and so. There's a term in, because it just because it's kosher doesn't necessarily mean anything. It's like, okay, this is what's interesting. They talk about, okay, that, they basically said like pure olive oil that actually just comes from like, olives without actually doing any heating or anything like that. It doesn't require any sort of supervision, right? Which means it's kind of kosher, inherently kosher, but there's nobody looking over it to prove that it is, right? Because, and so that doesn't require
kind of reminds me of grass.
Yeah.
In a way. Generally regarded as safe.
However, if you use a lot of heat and pressure with the aid of chemical solvents like hexane, right, you can express oil out of vegetables.
Imagine the fact that you're literally using hexane olive oil.
Yeah, but if you're using seed oils, then yeah, that's what
if you're using seed oils like canola oil, yeah, you're already consuming industrial lubricants.
Yes, you can express oil out of vegetables. This is what we call vegetable oil, right? So yes, and so since these oils are processed with, it's because the oils are processed with heat and additives. If you don't process them with anything, like, it doesn't require kosher supervision. I think that's the basic message, right? So, and that machinery was not contaminated by unkosher products, right? So accordingly, the accepted kashrus policy is that all vegetable oils require reliable kosher supervision, while oil did not require hashgacha, is what they say, I think is the word is here. The policy was in effect until the manufacturers realized that they could produce additional oil from olives if they used heat extraction. Consequently, after they finished using the cold press on the olives, the remaining pulp would be heated and refined, similar to the processing of vegetable oil, to produce additional oil. This oil was called pomace olive oil and is often used in sardine cans. Of course, this oil would require supervision, just as all of the vegetable oils require supervision due to the heating process. Now that even olive oil was produced with heat, how could anybody tell whether they had cold-pressed olive oil or heat-processed olive oil? So, yeah, enter the International Olive Council, right? And they say that this respected group begins certifying olive oil and assigning various grades as follows. Virgin olive oil refers to 100% pure cold-pressed olive oil and does not require kosher supervision. Extra light olive oil is the name for olive oils and processed by heat and refined. It also includes other oils. They don't talk about that. Pure olive oil is a combination of virgin olive oil and refined olive oil, and therefore requires kosher supervision. So I don't know. I mean, it's just basically this thing is confusing as fuck. Oh, I know what you're going to do over there.
There's actually a really good guide that Vinny has for olive oils.
Not all olive oils are created equal. You have all kinds of things. First press, second press, extra virgin, kind of virgin, almost a virgin, light olive oil.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what I think is actually, we're kind of going, okay, what is it, what is it that, what can we say, right? What is a good olive oil? We need to do a little bit more research on that. Kosher is probably not a good thing, but I think I can. I think I found something, and it's actually out of California. It's the California Olive Oil Council. If there's a logo for it, and basically, they are actually doing. I think they're doing all the stuff to make sure it's not cut with seed oils and has the right flavor and taste and all of that. Now, it's, granted, it's probably only for stuff that comes out of California, but that's something, right? And that we're trying to find a like.
It's still more affordable if they are being. Virtuous with the olive oil and not cutting it. Yeah. It's still less expensive for folks who can't afford even the smaller containers of the Villa Capelli.
Exactly. And yes, olives are known to first press is meant to be extra virgin, which has been subverted over time. Exactly. Right. That's what they've been doing. They've been fucking with our food and everything else for as long as we can.
But, and it's just getting worse. That's another reason why we do this show to keep you all informed that, you know, they're trying to fuck with us.
They're trying to fuck with us. So in any case, we're trying to help with this, you know, this whole idea, right? Because we want to, you know, how to help. You know, how do you find the right stuff? Well, I think I'm trying to remember that. I think even like UC Davis does some testing of things every so often, and they actually determine which ones are, you know, cut with what or whatever. But another thing you can do, and this is because I've been consuming Villa Capelli and other and like real olive oils for a while. Yeah, there's a certain taste that like real uncut olive oil has, and in fact, like the stuff from Villa Capelli. Vinny calls it the Puya pinch, which is when you actually like take a shot of it, which, you know, he does because.
And I've seen Phone Boy do the same.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, it has a kind of a peppery taste. You can taste it, right? It's something we were discussing this with Mama in the back channel and like, hey, you know, how do you know? Well, if you do a taste test on it, if it tastes smooth, then it's probably been cut. And I think it's probably, so there's, you know. So, yeah, now you've consumed some seed oil. Yeah, don't do it again. You know.
And it's interesting because I can remember back when I was very young that my grandmother used olive oil, and I assumed that they weren't cutting it way back then because I remember the smell and that distinct taste of the olive oil she had. And funny enough, it came in a tin, but I'm not saying there's a coincidence there.
No, exactly. But... yeah, so anyway, more information is needed on finding a clean olive oil. And
as soon as we have that information, we'll pass it on to you. But there's this product that I'm sure Phone Boy wants to talk about.
Yes, there is. So I'm not sure how I found out about the iSesamo Spudger, right? And this is it's a device. What is it for? Well, you know, for people, you know, the mobile phone, you know, mobile phones aren't meant to be taken apart. Well, with the right tools and know-how, you actually can do it, right? And so there are all kinds of fix-it tools, and this is actually one of the tools that's kind of designed to help with some of that process, right? You know, taking off the screen or whatever. Like, but it turns out they make a mini one that's really good to put on your keychain, and it's not a sharp object, right? It has an edge that's very fine, but it's not a blade, right? So it would certainly be acceptable by TSA standards or whatever, but it's really great for a couple of things, right? It's great for like opening all the Amazon packages we get. Also with the epoxy stuff that's been going on, the epoxy apocalypses that have occurred, when it dries and we need to clean it off of something, yeah, the spudger works really well for that. It's almost like you would use back in the day, you'd use a razor blade to maybe do it. And so this is kind of like using a razor blade, but it's a little less dangerous. So this is one of those things that we figured I'm talking about things that we use. In fact, I just bought another pack of these things because, they sell a pack with a big one and a small one. And they've also got some other ones for maybe, you know, taking apart certain kinds of devices like iPads and stuff, which I also have. But yeah, we found these things so useful that we'll have a link in the show notes for, you know, with you know, affiliate blah blah blah, you know, that I think that's probably where we're at with that. But I thought it was kind of a useful tool, and and they're not that expensive, and it's funny because the box, and I'm going to put this in the chat because this is the back of the box. They make a point of saying that it's not made in China. Yes, it's an Italian product. So, I don't know, for whatever that's worth. But anyway, yeah, I like the fact that the image numbers, anyway, the number of the image there is kind of cool. Okay, we'll have it in the show notes. I think that's the correct one. Yeah, we're not made in China. Even though it's got a China registration number and everything. So, all right, well, now the next thing, the last thing in the Toast and Gem segment.
Oh, it ain't the last thing, because Phoenix is fixing to have a fucking rant. Okay. I would like to officially say fuck Apple and Tom Collins and any other motherfucker associated with this company. I hate 26. I don't want 26 on my phone. I fucking told it no. Install later. And it turned the fuck around and immediately updated my fucking phone with it.
Oh, wow.
I am furious. Rant over.
Okay. Yeah. That's not very nice of it.
Literally made me want... I tried to turn my phone off when it initiated it. And it would not allow it. It absolutely would not allow me to turn my phone off. It cock-blocked me. I'm really sick and fucking tired of technology and the fact you can't take a fucking battery out when something decides I'm going to do what I want because I'm the technology. I'll take a fucking hammer to you, technology. Fight me. Like the dude in that ship commercial.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where his alerts keep going off. He just goes over and beats the shit out of the phone. I mean, that's exactly how I felt when this thing started doing the update to 26. I'm like, no, I do not want this under any circumstances.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that. That's news to me.
Well, I've officially shut off my automatic updates. So from now on, you will have to absolutely fight me to update if you want to, Apple. Come get some. I'm taking back control over my machinery. A machine will not own me.
Yeah, that's right. So neither will the census worker that I started talking about.
We never got resolution on that, by the way.
No, we never did. Okay. So anyway, I went outside. And there was a guy that was he had a shoulder bag that said U.S. Census, and the guy was actually trying to find out some information about one of our neighbors or something and I didn't tell him anything because I didn't know who it was anyway, and second of all, like, how do I know you're, even though he had a badge and everything, you kind of look at it and you go, and also look at the time, it's 2026. I thought the census was back in 2020.
It was, and it's not due until 2030, as well as the fact that an image for the bag that U.S. census workers should be carrying mm-hmm. does not match what his bag looked like. See, this is where Phoenix being hyper vigilant, and it just happened the universe poked me in the brain and said, oh, you should go, you know, wave to phone boy while he's on his way to go do his errands. Like, because I had enough margin of error that you wouldn't have quite been in the car yet. Or, you know, if you had looked in your mirror, you'd have seen my little hand waving out the window or out the screen door. So I open the door and I see you speaking to this person. So I immediately just absolutely freeze, stand still. Because that's the thing. Most people aren't going to notice somebody if they're not moving. Movement catches eye.
Yeah, that's why animals freeze, right? Because they don't want to be seen, right? That's one of the ways you're seen is you move, right?
Right. So I froze, and I watched the interaction silently. I watched him walk over to the unit you referred to, mm-hmm. and then I gently closed the door. Now, my hackles had already been raised because you had before mentioned the census is only every 10 years, and that's why I asked you. And I called you before you had an opportunity to call me because you didn't even know that I had opened the door.
No, I didn't. No, to be fair, my back was to you. So I,
yes, but that's the thing. His right side was to me. So yes. By me not moving, I didn't catch his attention to know someone was watching.
No, but I, for whatever reason, I just was kind of like, look, I'm not going to, I didn't give him any information about me or anybody else, you know.
Well, that was another thing that I found interesting because somebody did ring the doorbell after you had left.
Yeah.
And I suspect it might have been that person, although I don't have confirmation because there was no fucking way I was opening my door. In addition to which, I locked the screen door because, no, you're going to have to ring my bell. You're not knocking on my door. So the bell goes, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I'm not answering this because I'm suspecting it's this person. But here's where the thought circulated in my head. If this was an actual census worker, okay, why did they not ask you, if they're taking census, why didn't they ask you about what your information, your unit number,
No, they were following up with a specific person, I think is what the incident was, right? And I don't know, again, I didn't want to get involved with it. So I was just kind of like...
Okay, so I'll be that asshole phone boy? Although it could, in fairness, because there was an Amazon package and they do ring the doorbell. It may have been the Amazon package that had rang the doorbell. Not the package itself, but the person delivering it.
Yeah, they, depending on how it's delivered, yeah, sometimes it does do that, right?
But the TLDR on this is because we know that the census is taken every 10 years. And we do live in an area where there are a lot of older folks that I don't want some scamming individual coming around trying to cause some stuff. So I called the 12.
Yeah. And by the way, and by the way, that also happens a lot too. That, I mean, there's a, like in our local newspaper, right? Which I actually have, I get a physical copy of it. It comes twice a week in my mailbox. You know, there's stories occasionally about people getting scammed and this, that, and the other. And also in our local news sources that I pull stories from sometimes. This happens regularly enough that they have stories that tell people not to fall for the shit that we grew up kind of looked, we've all kind of laughed at and went, yeah, they're not going to get us with that. And where's the Nigerian prince? Yeah. Anyway, but
yeah, exactly. But that was why I would rather be safer and call the local authorities and just say, hey, make sure this guy's legit. I'm not trying to cause any trouble for him, but I'm also not trying to have something happen in regard to my neighbors. You know, I made the joke to Dame Jennifer about, you know, if you see something, say something.
Now I'm going to have to pull the clip now, so, you know.
But I'm just saying, I'm not usually the person who will be, you know, forward facing on that. But it concerned me enough that I was like, I need to do something. And then they were like, well, can we get your name? I'm like, is it necessary? And they're like, well, do you want to speak to an officer? I'm like, not really, unless he needs to speak to me. I just want you to, you know, this is my address. Please come do a, you know, kind of a drive-through, drive-by, whatever. And just, you know, this is what the guy looks like. Just kind of confirm his shit. You don't need to call me back. And I said, look, if the officer needs to talk to me, I know you have my phone number because it popped up on your screen. You can feel free to let him know that he can call me back or she can call me back. But I'm not leaving you my name. Nah, I'm cool to be anonymous. Thank you, drive through.
Exactly. Well, you know, now I had to pull the clip, of course.
If you see something, say something.
So you did.
I did. And I usually wouldn't be that person, but maybe I'm changing because I want to see the world be a better place. And if this guy's legit, great. Sorry for kind of peeing on your day, dude. But understand that there's assholes out there who literally could go on Amazon and buy a fake badge or, you know, something more, you know, less, you know, more dark webby, if you will. I'm just saying it's possible to get this stuff. People who don't know could easily be fooled by it. I wanted to protect my neighbors. I'm not making any apology for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if whether he was legit or not, I didn't necessarily want to give him any information that he didn't need, right?
Well, and that's it. It's, you know, if you need information about me, you can dial direct. Otherwise, see ya.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. You know, I probably need to come up with a jingle for the tarot draw, right? Because now we're doing I'm doing a tarot draw here.
Okay, I'm being just slightly comical when I say the old Twilight Zone theme.
Possibly. Yeah, that might work.
No.
I'd like now to take you on a journey of sight and sound.
Yeah, exactly. The old Rod Serling. It seems like every year every season they had a different version of the Twilight Zone opening, you know, it seems like. But anyway, yeah, so this, okay, so you actually bought this deck for me, I believe. This is the ocean.
Is the ocean?
Yeah, this is the ocean deck, yeah, because you said
I thought they were beautiful. During Christmas, when I asked Phoneboy, I said, pick three things that you would like, and a tarot deck was one of the things that he had said. So it wasn't one of the decks that I bought him for Christmas, but it's been one that's kind of been sticking in my craw that I thought was so pretty. So while I was doing an order recently for some of the epoxy stuff I'm working on, which I did post a picture in the chat, and I will post a picture in the show notes of a mushroom jar that I made that I think is absolutely beautiful. But while I was ordering some more stuff, I thought, you know, I'm just going to throw that deck in my cart and surprise Phoneboy with a new tarot deck, because that's usually what we do here. Is we don't need a special event, a special holiday to give each other a gift to just say, hey, saw this, thought you might like it, you know, love you, whatever. Ta-da.
Yeah. So I'm sitting here. I'm fondling my cards right now because this is how you.
Are you playing with your deck?
I'm playing with my deck. Yes, I'm playing with my deck, and I still need to get some cards here. And this is what we've got. Okay, so this, I'll put a link for this deck, and there'll be you can get this if you want. So the cards I drew tonight are the Five of Pearls, which would be which I believe it would, yeah, because this is an ocean theme. They've kind of taken the normal tarot.
Do you have a book that goes with it, sir?
Yes, of course I have the book that goes with it. Yes, but this Five of Pearls would be like I think it ends up
confirm
being hearts.
Confirm it. Look at your book. That's why I asked.
Yeah, but it doesn't say in the book is what I'm
saying.
It
doesn't tell you what the equivalent is to like Marseille.
No, but
well,
I can.
Sad.
No, but I can. But I can figure it out based on because like spear.
Here's some articles.
Yeah, because spears are swords. Coral is wands. Treasure is pentacles and pearls are hearts. So
got it.
So there might be okay. So the Five of Pearls. I kind of looked at this deck and it's like yes, there's some sort of yeah there's some loss there, right? And when you talk about the Five of Pearls, right? And there may be, and the way that they read it in here is the isolation heart. No, that's five of Treasure. Sorry, let me find the right thing in here. Which is we're talking about pearls. So trauma, loss, sadness, tragedy, unwelcome change, emotional immaturity, dwelling on losses and bad feelings, unhappiness, mixed opportunities, regret, despair, rejection, guilt, remorse, regret. Well, I think what's going on right now, I think I can say this is that we might all be kind of we're all going through shit right now, right? And that's kind of what's reflected in the Five of Pearls, I think, with this. And when you follow it up, right, the card that follows it up is the Devil, right? And the Devil in this particular, I'll post a picture of this of the draw here a little later, but the Devil sits here, and the Devil has kind of a couple of different connotations to it. Sometimes it can be playful, and sometimes the Devil can be mean, right? You know, or maybe not mean, but certain. You talk about sometimes dark forces or whatever. But I think there is some, there's definitely some energy out there, and they're definitely not happy, right? And that's actually, I think that's actually a lot of what's happening in the world right now is that a lot of devils are being exposed for what they are, right? Meanwhile, people are going through, they're kind of, I can say for ourselves, kind of going through some stuff in my own, some stuff that I thought I'd resolved in the past, and kind of has come around again, and kind of getting a chance to clear to make sure I've really cleared it out, right? So, but there's a lot of stuff going on, and then what we drew as the third card was the Empress. And the Empress, I'm going to read the description for the Empress out of this. So the Empress embodies fertility and creativity. She encourages you to nurture your ideas, relationships, and the beauty around you. And as you're actually clearing things out, you're actually making, when you're going through all of this, you're processing all of this, things that you've been hanging on to for a while, right? Well, the Empress is kind of letting, it's like what that's that all that has a purpose, and it's helping you to actually, make space to do things that are fun, right? You've always wanted to do a cooking thing, right, honey? This is why, before we got
For
together, right?
Many, many years I've been trying to figure out how to open up my own establishment, because cooking has been a very large part of my life for better than 40 years.
Yeah, exactly. So the way I kind of look at this draw is, yeah, we're all going through some stuff right now. And I would say that, we're going to start seeing some more stuff come out that maybe the devil doesn't want to, the quote unquote devils don't want to actually come out would be the truth, folks.
Devils equal powers that shouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, and I think what comes out of it is, yeah, when we get rid of all of that stuff, right, we're going to have the space to do the things that actually bring us joy, the creative things. And this is, you've been geeking out on doing these videos, as stressful as it's been to try and do all of this with it.
I have been kind of geeking out, but I've also been, my perfectionist comes out big time when I'm doing these, from the placement of ingredients to the bowls that I've used. I mean, I've bought like three different bowl sets just because they were cute and I thought they were going to be perfectly aesthetic for the show, the labels I use for just so many things, down to the nth degree with this, because I want people not to look at these videos and think, oh, this is just some amateur BS. I want people to tell their friends and their friends' friends about these videos, about the movement that we are trying to create here with the Lotus Effect and Lotus Cafe, and, you know, hopefully someday a brick and mortar for the Lotus Cafe that can bring this food to people who ultimately need it. I mean, sadly, if you look around, it doesn't matter where you live in this country, all you have to do is just go out in a public space and look around. There are so many people who just, I feel, don't know that there's an alternative to all of this, you know, misery that they're going through because of a health problem, or, you know, they've literally overbooked themselves as far as social activities. Now, I understand both parents have to work and stuff like that, but making good use of your time, which is another part of what these videos are about, is sometimes, like for the carne asada bowls, you have to be doing a couple of things at the same time. It's not like you get to just, oh, let me cook the meat. Okay, now I'm going to go over here and cook this. All right, now I'm going to go. There are multiple things that you have to be doing at the same time. So time management is huge. These videos not only show you how to shop for what you're going to be cooking, because young folks, I think, could use that, but also the tools in order to cook it, how to cook it, how to manage your time. I even talk about, hey, while you're doing this, you know, you should probably do this. I'm trying to make the world a better place than I found it. And I'm hoping that through this video series and hopefully through a brick and mortar at some point that we can do that.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's funny. This is the brand name of this particular Ocean Tarot Cards is, yeah, it's one of these Chinesium brand names that have a bunch of letters smashed together. It seemed like a random number generator picked the characters for this. I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. But anyway, okay. I'll have a link to it in the show notes in any case.
Phone boy, mm-hmm. I have an extremely racist joke to tell.
Okay.
Do you know how Chinese people name their kids?
No.
They throw all the silver out of the drawer up in the air, and whatever sound it makes when it lands, it's they name them. It's the most racist thing you'll hear me say all day, but the name of the company that sells those cards made me think of that.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome. No, you're welcome. All right. Anyway, there will be links to the deck, because it's Ocean Tarot Cards, and anyway, I don't know. They look pretty. They look nice. I'll have the draw, and I'll have all of that in the show notes. Meanwhile, now, you might say that this kind of leads in, because we're talking about tarot cards in this case, but it leads in, I think, to the card games that we're going to talk about in the weigh-in segment.
That's right, because
the world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in
to 253-237-3321, like our favorite pedal heads have done today, starting with a text from Mama T, because we asked, what's your favorite card game? And she said her favorite card game is solitaire, especially if she can make money at it.
Okay, so one of the solitaire games that they created for gambling purposes is actually called Canfield, I think is the name of it.
I've heard of this.
Yes, I play it, and I play it because it's hard, because you don't always win, right? It's kind of almost the luck of the draw sometimes as to whether you're going to be able to do it. It's one of the reasons I started playing it is because I could play it on an airline tray table, right? It's a small enough board that I could work with it in that. So, if you can make money at it, even better. But yeah, sometimes solitaire is good. Well, let's go on. Let's go see what our other pedal heads had to say about card games.
Hey guys, favorite card game? I like either Phase 10, Uno, or a Rummy kind of game. But usually if I were to sit down, it would be Uno or Phase 10. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Uno. Yeah.
Thank you, Wookie. Actually, oh my God, Phase 10. That's a game I haven't played in a hot minute.
Yeah.
Hot Death Uno. You still have to teach me how to play Hot Death Uno,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, we need a few more people.
You know what? This needs to be something that we schedule a vacation to head to the P&W once your extortion is over and that bitch is dead. I mean, she's paid off. Of course, in my opinion, she's paid in full. But anyway, we're not going to go there today. But we need to take a trip to the P&W and meet up with the Bemroses and get that particular activity going on.
Yes, exactly. Well, let's see what this pedalhead had to say.
Hey, King's in the corner, man. My brother, I used to play that. I don't remember how to play.
I'll have to look it up. Hello, Phoenix. Hello, fun boy. Favorite card game? I don't know. There's this one that starts with an no, it doesn't start with an S. Phase 10. We'll play, my wife and I will play that. Yeah, like we're going out, like coffee or sometimes even grubbing food or something like that. Out to eat, kind of play it before/during. Cause you kind of just pick it up anywhere. You just keep the notes of where you last left off on your phone. But yeah, there's a lot of card games out there. I'm not Mr. Game Person, although we have a ton of games at our casa. So, yeah. But yeah, Phase 10 comes to mind. Oh, again, Death Splits. I am not good at it. I'm not quick at it. I'm usually in the negative. But I'll play that with some of the family members because they're real good at it. And so it's just this comedic thing that, of course, I'm behind. Kind of the shocker what's on the default or why I actually have a positive number. So, but that game is fun. Dutch Blitz, and you can play with quite a few people in that game. It gets pretty chaotic. So, but it's a speed game. You got to be paying attention to all the ifs, stands, or buts. So, anywho, yeah. There's the, what is it, the Exploding Kittens and all those whatnots. Things that are just coming to mind. Anyway, love you guys. Sky Dangerous. And whether or not it's pizza for dinner, or you're just hearing about pizza for dinner, go ahead and give a hearty, hearty.
Ka-ka! Thank you, Christopher Battles. And thank you, sir, for subscribing to the Lotus Cafe. I saw you. I caught it.
Yeah.
I got a notification about it, and I thank you for your courage, sir.
Yeah, the Cal's, by the way, the Calzone, that we had earlier.
Oh, it was so good.
That was so good, yeah. So we,
it came out better than expected. I am not going to lie. I was not really encouraged because I had never made a Calzone out of that pizza crust before. It was so dynamite. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, we have one more voicemail. Let me just make sure that I don't have any more texts over here. We have one more voicemail.
And you still have time to call 253-237-3321. If you do it before the end of this voicemail, it'll get in on the segment. If not, then it will be in the last call segment. So come on, pedalheads, phone it in, 253-237-3321. What's your favorite card game?
As far as favorite card game goes, I mean, Uno's solid. Five Crowns also is good. I mean, but I do like traditional card games like your Rummies. But probably since I'm Midwest, Euchre is going to win as far as the best card game. If you don't know it, it's very competitive. And it's the interesting card game. It's fun to play and can get quite competitive. So,
yeah, I don't.
I've never heard of that, actually.
I've heard of the name. I think I've heard of it, but I've never actually played it. So, but I also, yeah, I don't know. They had all kinds of weird stuff like that at the flea market and whatever. So, back in as a kid. Okay, so. I mean, the obvious answer for this, I think, for both of us is Cards Against Humanity, but we're not going that answer.
No, we're much like the favorite beverage. The Bemroses cannot say liquor. Cards Against Humanity is shooting fish in a barrel.
Okay, so I'm gonna pick two games here because there are game we haven't played called Bullshit. You get a group of people.
I know Bullshit.
Yes. So you basically deal out all the cards and you go around saying, you know, you put down the number, you know, face down, you put the number of, you know, you go around and do, you know, start off with aces, twos, threes, et cetera. Right. And it's a game of bluffing, right? Because somebody else can call your bullshit and then you turn over the card. If it's what you claim it is, then they get all the cards that have been laid down. And if you're the one lying, then you get all those cards. And your goal is to get rid of all your cards. It's a fun game to play with a bunch of people. It's like playing poker. It's actually better than playing poker because you don't actually lose any money. It's just that, you know.
Oh, yeah, but it's a lot of fun when you stick somebody with a shit ton of cards.
Yeah, exactly. Which is the way that the stackable draw fours work in Hot Death Uno. There are some draw fours that are not stackable, and you end up, and if there's a bunch of draw fours behind it, oh, you draw a lot of cards. That same dynamic. Now, the other thing I will say is gin rummy, and I have a memory from grade school. I had a friend in sixth grade. I think my class was a fifth and sixth grade class. And so there was a kid named Steve in that class. He's from Canada. I don't remember what part. And we'd sit around and it was funny because I remember the reason where I rented my first apartment was the apartment complex that he lived in, right. Over on Button Street in Santa Cruz. But I would just sit around and talk and bullshit, and we just play the game, and it was just a great something to do. We weren't keeping score or anything. We were just kind of shooting the shit and using the card game as a distraction. But yeah, I like playing gin rummy. It's just I like playing it. That's as much as I'll say about it. So what about you?
I like gin rummy. I love playing with you. I used to like playing with my mom as well. And there's another game that the family all loved playing, and I wish I could remember how to play it. I'm going to have to look it up or talk to maybe one of my kids or possibly even Wookiee. She might remember, but it's called Spite and Malice. Ooh. And it is a lot of fun. It's a lot like the bullshit game in the fact that it gets really competitive and you can completely fuck your competitors over in a huge way. So those are pretty much two games that I like playing, to be honest. Yeah. And I love Uno. That's why I can't wait to learn how to play Hot Death Uno, because I'm a big Uno fan.
Yes, exactly. And Rachel in the chat says Canasta, which I've...
Canasta is a really unique game, much like cribbage, which you still have to teach me
which
to
I
play.
Still, yeah, and we have a cribbage board, so maybe we'll do that at some point. And then there was also spades. Yeah, I've played my share of spades too. Yeah.
I remember Kings in the Corner that they were talking about. Not exactly how to play, but I remember playing it when I was younger at the very least.
Exactly.
Slapjack too, when I was little.
Oh, of course. Yeah. You play in.
You know what? Yeah. Cards is huge.
It is funny too, because now remember this was when I was traveling all the time and I had status on airlines and was going in, anyway, I remember going to the sky. I was thinking, you know, it really be nice to have a deck of playing cards. And so, I've got a couple of decks as a result of that. I went and asked I don't know what you call the people in the Sky Club or whatever. But I went up and said, hey, do you guys still have like playing cards? And yeah, she went and dug it out of they got it in a cabinet or whatever. And so I got a couple of decks of Delta playing cards, right? And one of them we've used to play, and the other is
and the other
I've got in a box here. But I remember as a kid, you know, when because I went and visited my mom in Hawaii before I moved there, and it's a long flight from California. It's like, you know, it's a 5.5 hour flight, I think, from San Francisco, yeah, over the ocean, right? So, and back in those days there wasn't a lot of in-flight entertainment, so yeah, you learned how to play. I learned how to play cards, and yeah, so
I would literally have just had, this is why I'm an aisle, or this is why I'm a window seat gal, because I literally would have had my shade up and my head resting against that water, or against the water, Jesus Christ, I would have had my head resting against the window staring out it, looking at the water for as much as I could see it.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, the playing cards, which by the way, the standard playing cards are also kind of based on tarot, if you didn't know that etymology. But because when I was researching tarot back in the diamonds and the spades and all of that sort of correspond to the tarot and
the kings, the queens,
yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly. It's kind of the same. Yeah, it's kind of a pared down tarot deck, if it were.
Well, if you think about it, okay, you have the king of this and the page of that,
yeah, exactly.
The ace of wands,
exactly.
Things like that. So yeah, I can definitely see the correlation there.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I guess so tarot, yeah, and then of course, yeah, now like, yeah, I've kind of gotten back into tarot. I started getting into it about at the end of 21. And yeah, it seems like it's time to pick that up again. And the universe kind of told me one day, yeah, you know what? You should buy some tarot decks. And so
have several very lovely ones.
Yeah. And in fact, now I think what I've got is I've got enough of them that I can do a die roll and say, okay, which am I pulling which am I doing the reading from today? Right. So,
well, you know, if you decide you need to get more decks and you run out of drawers in your case, I can always purchase you another one.
Actually, there's a couple of decks that are in there that I would like to replace because they're older decks that I feel like they probably shouldn't be used anymore. So so I probably will get a couple more decks, but I'll handle that off the mic. But all right, anyway, I think we've gotten past all of that now, and it's time to go. I think we've called the part two of our health segment.
Actually, we are going to the part two of our health segment. And to reinforce the way that we are eating, we are making sure that it is never
brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
Exercise for depression yields similar results to therapy, according to a new research. So a recently updated Cochrane review found that exercise yielded similar results to psychological therapy when compared to antidepressants. However, the evidence was less clear. Of course, they're going to say the evidence was less clear because they want you on the drugs. So depression is one of the most common mental health conditions in the United States right now, affecting around 21 million adults. In 2021, approximately 61% of U.S. adults was experiencing depression and received treatment for it. Exercise is a low-cost option for symptom management that is widely available, making it an ideal treatment option for individuals and their prescribing healthcare team. So instead of taking the drugs, take a walk. The review examined 73 randomized control trials that included nearly 5,000 adults with depression. The examined studies compared exercise with control interventions or no treatment, as well as with antidepressant medications and psychological therapies. The results showed a moderate benefit of reducing symptoms of depression when compared to no treatment or controlled intervention. When exercise was compared to psychological therapy, it had a similar effect. This was based on moderate certainty evidence from 10 trials. The evidence in comparison to antidepressants was limited and of low certainty. However, it did show there may be a similar effect on depression symptoms. The long-term effects are still unclear, as few studies have followed participants after treatment. This review allows clinicians permission to take exercise seriously as a frontline intervention rather than simply a lifestyle recommendation that's tacked on to the end of a session. Other research supports the notion that physical activity can be beneficial for depressive symptoms. People with high levels of activity may have a 17% lower risk of depression. Those with low cardiorespiratory fitness may also have a 64% higher risk of developing depression. This shows that a sedentary lifestyle may lead to a greater potential for developing symptoms of depression. And that makes a lot of sense, because if you're not active, and unfortunately you obviously, if you're not active, you're probably overweight. I mean, I'm not throwing shade, I'm throwing facts here. That's going to create a negative feedback loop, because you're not exercising because either you can't or whatever reason. And then it just increases what you weigh. And yeah, you become depressed because you feel like, why can't I do this? Or, you know, a various number of things. You get in a negative mindset. It's terrible. So a 2024 systematic review suggested that there are three potential ways that regular exercise can help manage depression. It can reduce inflammation, which can be associated with symptoms of depression. It can regulate your circadian rhythms, which are often disrupted in people with depression. And it can also help improve sleep patterns, which can help regulate your mood and your energy levels. The general recommendation is to use exercise in conjunction with other first-line treatments for depression. Depression affects everyone differently, and committing to regular exercise may be more difficult for some people than others. But still, the National Institute of Mental Health states that just 30 minutes of walking or jogging each day can help boost mood.
And I can talk about that myself, right?
Yeah.
Because I will talk about this myself because, yeah, one of the things that during the COVID years, as we'll call them, I was pretty much stuck at home. I about all I could do was go for a run or drink, and I did a little of both, right? But the one thing I can say, because I didn't really want to go anywhere because, of course, the leftists of coast went the strictest in terms of the, in terms of like all the COVID restrictions, and you couldn't go. It was like I couldn't go anywhere that I wanted to go. So like, fuck it, you know, and I went for a run sometimes a couple times a day. Right. And I can tell you that it helped a lot. Right. My ex was being my ex and things were being the way they were being. And I needed to, that was the one thing that kept me sane because I was able to, I don't know, I was clear, whatever. I had some sort of outlet for, you know, maybe some of the anxiety or whatever, but and I was eating clean and it really helped. Right. All of these things. Right. And I can't just say it was running, but it did, you know, it certainly, yeah, that plus the diet I had at the time, I think did a great, great thing. And that's, you know, so, you know, you want to talk about things that got me through that rough time. Yeah. That was probably one of the, having that as a, something I was doing on a regular basis. Yeah. The nipple picks, right. yeah, that helped me get through it. And I firmly believe that.
One thing I have that I find or I take issue with about this is the whole 30 minutes of walking or jogging each day. That's great for people who have the physical mobility to do so. But I can tell you from a viewpoint of someone who has been related to and experienced symptoms of depression and people who have depression in my family, sometimes it's an absolute task to just get out of bed, let alone eat, shower, basically take care of yourself. And these assholes at the Institute of Mental Health are saying, oh, just go for a walk or jog 30 minutes a day. You're great. What happens when you can't leave the fucking house because you can't leave your bedroom? I've been there. Seriously. Okay. But what I will say is this. Don't take these pricks too seriously, folks. If you can, look, get up, take a walk to the refrigerator and come back. Not opening it. Just go touch it. Come back. Maybe walk around your coffee table once or twice. Any kind of movement. Don't pin yourself down to that whole 30 minutes that they're talking about. Because that, again, is going to create a negative feedback loop. Because if you're not able to go that 30 minutes, if you're not able to leave the house, but you're able to walk around that coffee table or walk, you know, to the kitchen and back or whatever, you know, goal you set for yourself within the house. Okay. That's a small goal. If you're able to accomplish that, fuck the fact you didn't go outside for 30 minutes. There's times I can't go outside. I just cannot face the world because the world's a dumpster fire.
It's celebrate also cold small, outside.
It is cold outside because it's winter. But I'm saying to the folks who are dealing with this, any little victory is still a victory. Did you get out of bed today? Did you put your feet on the floor and stand up? Did you make your bed? Did you take a shower? Did you eat something? People with depression, these are huge accomplishments for them. I can tell you. So don't shortchange yourself if you can't do that 30-minute walk or jog. If you can do a couple laps around the coffee table, if you can walk back and forth to the kitchen or something, anything that's giving you movement, it doesn't matter if you have to use a walker or a cane or any kind of other mobility device to move. That's going to help boost your mood too. Because the first thing you can do for yourself to put yourself in a good mood for the entire day, make your bed. Because if you do nothing else in that day, you did something. You made your bed. So, did you have something you wanted to say, Funboy?
I wanted to say the drug I was on. You know, there's a drug I'm on.
I'm on the drug. I'm on the drug. I'm on the drug. The Killed River Phoenix.
Exercise can help manage symptoms of depression in psychological and physiological ways. Physical activity releases endorphins, neurotransmitters associated with positive mood and feelings of well-being. Now, other things that exercise can also do is reduce your stress and anxiety, enhance your self-esteem, and improve your social support. Again, that's if you're able to actually go out of your house. I just want to point that out. Social media is not social. It's dangerous. Anyway, so the type of interaction that or physical activity that you do matters less than you think. Okay? Walking, dancing, gardening, gentle yoga, they all send the same signal to a stuck nervous system. We're not trapped. We can still move through the world. And that is a real feeling. I promise you guys, at different times, dealing with different traumas, there have truly been days when I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't leave my bedroom. There's been days I haven't left my bedroom or the second floor in our condo. I don't go downstairs to eat. I have a bathroom on the second floor is the only reason that I'm, you know, not having to change floors. But I'll spend the whole day in my bedroom because I just cannot handle the world. So days when people who have it, you know, who have that every day, if you will, on the days when you can unstick yourself and you can go out in the world or at least open your front door even. Those are accomplishments. Feeding yourself, showering. I'm just saying, I've been there and I've seen people I love deal with that. And I'm telling you that you can do this. Any little thing is a victory.
Yeah, Yeah, something is better than nothing in this regard, right? I think that's the main thing of that is, yeah. And it's also good, I think, it's also good for your soul to get up and move, too. I mean, this, honestly, like, just sometimes it's, you know, it's nice to just walk outside and stand in the sunshine. And even being cold sometimes is nice, too. But again, it's, yeah, get up and move. I mean, whether it's, you know, I had hurt my foot bad enough to the point where I couldn't run. Right. It was like even walking around the house was challenging, but I still managed to go out, and it was during the summer. I still managed to go outside and kind of walk around the backyard or whatever. I did something. It was better than nothing. Right. Sometimes you have to, you know,
if you didn't wear sandals all the time, foam boy, it might help.
Well, that was before I got used to the sandals. Now I'm used to the sandals. Yeah. I had to deal with that too, right? Because yeah, well, those sandals, right? Because they have no padding in them. Yeah, if it forces you to fix your gait and stuff like that. So
yeah, but they're super beneficial. I mean, you got me hooked on these Zeros back when we first got together 4 years ago, and I truly think that they've been extremely helpful in reducing the fatigue on my muscles and really connecting me to what I'm doing. Because you have to be really present when you walk in these shoes, especially the sandals. He's not joking when he says there isn't any, you know, there's no padding. You walk over a rock, you're definitely feeling it in a painful way. So you have to be very conscious of where you're putting your feet, especially if you're running in these sandals.
Yeah,
your
like through the forest, even, you know, which
for real.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's talk about microplastics. And the research on it is terrifying, but it might also be wrong.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
Exactly. How do you mean?
There's a great future in plastics.
Claims that microplastics are widespread throughout the human body are now being questioned by so-called experts. Microplastics are real, but measuring them in human tissue is extremely hard. Scientists say many detections may be due to contamination or analytical errors, not plastic particles embedded in organs. Several high-profile studies have been formally challenged, whatever that means. Researchers have raised concerns in scientific journals about missing contamination controls, weak validation steps, and biologically implausible results. But this doesn't mean plastic pollution isn't a serious problem. Plastic is ubiquitous in the environment, and exposure through air, food, and water is undisputed. What remains unclear is how much ends up inside the body and what it does there. Why are we exposed to any of it? In trying to measure just how much micro and nanoparticles, or MNPs, as they say, in the body, a key way of doing this is, perhaps counterintuitively, vaporizing it, then capturing the fumes. But this method, dubbed by PYGCMS, has come under particular criticism.
I have an answer to your question, by the way. You want to know why we are consuming so much because for whatever reason, every douchebag and twat waffle in the world thinks, I need my own personal bottle of water. We're just so underhydrated.
Well, there's that, but also, yeah, but I mean, I thought about this, right? So, because I was, one of the things we did today was, you know, part of, and something else we've been doing in Casa Lotus is just generally cleaning stuff up, right? As we've been kind of, and actually doing these videos we've been doing, this actually been kind of, it's kind of forced a bunch of things to get cleaned up that, you know, we've had to put things, anyway, and the canning exercise also triggered a whole bunch of cleaning that occurred. And, but,
you know, we forgot to talk about that in Toast and Jam, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. But anyway, what I realized is, and one of the things that's in, we still have, you bought some Mexican Coke at Costco a while back, right? We still
at Christmas, yeah,
and you know, and I'm going, yeah, as a kid, right? I remember getting bottles of, you know, I mean, again, we know it's sugar, but there were bottles of, you know, actual like physical bottles of Coca-Cola, right? Which, you know, it's like, what's...
You remember when you used to actually be able to get those out of a vending machine?
Yes, and I have purchased them out of a vending machine.
Heck yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, wait, that's Colombian Coke, right? But the fact is it came in bottles, and I'm kind of going, okay, so at some point it switched to plastic, and I'm going, okay, I can understand. A business kind of looks at that and goes, okay, because shipping glass bottles around is expensive. That's one of the reasons why, like, you know, like Anna Faccina sells sauces, right? For pasta sauces or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, there's sauces that are used that are kind of like, you know, the Italian, Italian gravy as they refer to it, right? Well, those are in glass jars, right? You know, all the different tomato sauces and pasta sauces or whatever. They're all in, you know, they're in glass jars. Those things are heavy, expensive to, and the reason they don't put them in, you know, ship those things in plastic is because what happens, you know, when we put the tomato based products into one of our plastic containers? It gets
stains them.
It stains the fuck out of them, right? Well,
but also think about the fact, and we've talked about this, you do not know how long whatever food that you're buying, whether it be spaghetti sauce or water or anything else in a plastic container, you don't really know how long it's been in that container, how long it's been sitting in a warehouse in untold heat, possibly leaching all of those nanoparticles into that product. You can't taste them. You can't smell them. You can't see them.
Exactly, which is why they're concerned. And yeah, so we'll get in this in the story here. Now, I'm trying to measure just how much of these. Okay, we've already done that. So, but PyGCMS begins by pyrolyzing the sample, heating it until it vaporizes. The fumes are then passed through the tubes of a gas chromatograph, which separates smaller molecules from large ones. A mass spectrometer uses the weights of different molecules to identify them. And the problem is that some small molecules in the fumes derived from polyethylene and PVC can also be produced from fats in human tissue. Well, you know why? Because we've been consuming this shit since the 80s. And that shit gets caught in our fat. Yeah, that's why it's produced from fats in human tissue, because they've been feeding it to us for decades. Human
digestion. So basically what you're saying is it's leaching out of our cells now.
Yeah, probably. That's the way I see this. Human samples are digested with chemicals to remove tissues before analysis, but if some remains, the result can be false positives for NMPs. Yeah. The real issue, though, is that nano-sized particles can cross biological barriers, and the current instruments we have can't detect these particles at all, right? Overstated findings can backfire. Weak evidence risks scaring the public, distorting policy decisions, giving industry lobbyists ammunition to dismiss legitimate environmental concerns, or the fact that you're poisoning fucking humans. But anyway, scientists agree the field is still young. Better methods, clearer standards, and collaboration between medical researchers and analytical chemists are needed before firm conclusions can be drawn.
Film conclusions, write it down.
Yeah, film conclusion. Yeah, I'm going to do that while I...
So, for now, experts recommended modest precautions, not panicking. Reducing plastic use around food, ventilating indoor spaces, and filtering drinking water can lower exposure even as the science catches up. Now, of course, we all know that tap water tastes like ass no matter where you live. So filtering your drinking water is probably a good idea to begin with. Ventilating your indoor spaces, well, I mean, you kind of do that by nature because who wants your indoor spaces stanking? But I'm not opening the door in 38 degree weather. You can go fuck yourself. The reducing plastic use around food, yeah, Here's what we here at the Lotus Effect and the Lotus Cafe recommend. Put your leftovers in glass containers.
Certainly, or if you put them in plastic, don't heat them up in the plastic.
Yes, absolutely. Do not heat it in plastic. Use your head.
Yeah.
If heating plastic in any way leaches these chemicals into what is in that plastic, why would you intentionally do so? Don't get us started on the microwave discussion.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, however, micro nanoplastic particles are tiny and at the limit of today's analytical techniques, especially in human tissue. There's no suggestion of malpractice, but researchers told The Guardian of their concern that the race to publish results in some cases by groups with limited analytical experience has led to rushed results and routine scientific checks sometimes being overlooked. But you know what? You're not even looking at the real issues, folks. Is anybody thinking about the fact that maybe it's in our, maybe we've been consuming this stuff for so long that it is in our fucking tissues and we can't, and it's so small that we can't, that science can't find it, so it must not be there. Just because you can't find it doesn't mean it ain't there, folks. That's all I have to say about that. Meanwhile, we have a cheese story here. It's kind of a sad cheese story.
I'm actually sad and also giggling a little bit because of one of the brands that is involved that we've talked about before, because the FDA has expanded its cheese recall affecting 20 states, warning that consumption could cause death.
Cheese, glorious cheese.
So the Ambriola company, a supplier to popular brands like Boar's Head and Locatelli, issued a recall of select Pecorino Romano cheese products back on November 24th. The FDA reclassified the recall as Class 1 on the 6th of January. Insurrection Day! Yay! So the FDA published the initial recall and Class 1 classification back in November. It issues classifications 1, 2, or 3 to indicate the, quote, degree of health hazard of a recalled product. Class 1 is defined as, quote, a situation in which there is a reasonable probability that the use of or exposure to a volatile product, a violative product, will cause serious adverse health consequences or death, according to the organization. So since the November 2025 recall announcement, several products and states have been linked to the potential presence of Listeria. Wow, states are being linked to Listeria? Boy, this must be serious. So the affected products come from 5 brands: Locatelli, Pina, Boar's Head, Sam's Club, and Ambriola. I'm sorry, the Sam's Club brand is Member's Mark, in case you're wondering. Now, they were sold directly to consumers and in large-scale sizes for restaurants. So this is a widespread problem for sure. The exact products covered by this recall are listed in the article linked in the show notes. They were distributed in Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Massachusetts, Maine, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Texas, Virginia, Washington, and Wisconsin. Wow, that is a lot of states that are affected by this recall, folks. And
by the way, most of those states are blue. I just thought I'd point that out.
Do you find that to be a coincidence, sir?
I think not.
I didn't think so either. So, listeriosis, a condition caused by listeria infection, causes headaches, fever, muscle aches, confusion, and diarrhea, among other symptoms, according to the USDA. The agency also highlighted that people over 65, those who are pregnant, or immunocompromised are especially at risk for listeriosis, which can result in a fatal infection. Now, the Ambriola company did not immediately respond to a request for comment, and a spokesperson for Boar's Head said that they are committed to delivering safe, high-quality foods that consumers can enjoy with confidence. Now, Boar's Head did act immediately and decisively in November when the Ambriola recall occurred. Now, I want to point out also that this isn't the first time that we're seeing a problem with a Boar's Head product. Back in episode 193, we reported on the facilities issued in the Virginia Boar's Head recall for their contaminated meat processing, etc.
When you pulled that shit out at a Kroger employee when you were in like Maryland.
Oh,
in the Maryville.
My gosh, I embarrassed my son because we were at Kroger and he was talking about getting lunch meat, and I said it loudly and proudly, I would not purchase Boar's Head after the conditions in the way that they process their meat and the recalls that have occurred because of it in their plants in Virginia, etc. Yeah, I did. I said it loud. I said it proud. He was embarrassed. I'm not sorry. So, as part of the immediate actions, Boar's Head halted the purchase of these products from the Embryola company, notified their retail partners, and ensured that the affected products were removed from distribution nationally. The steps that they took to protect consumers and retail partners during this recall reflect the industry-leading safety standards and protocols that Boar's Head has implemented across the organization. I'm just wondering if this is since the Virginia incident or if this is just more of that PR word salad that they like to make look good.
I think we know the answer.
Yeah, I think we do as well. So the FDA recently completed its standard administrative process to formally classify this month's old recall. And the classification reinforces that Boar's Head took the right steps at the time to protect consumers. Boy, the FDA is really sucking Boar's Head off hard, aren't they?
Well, yeah, again, you talk about the,
follow the money, yeah,
follow the money, right?
So I think we have pretty much gotten to the point where it's...
No, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
However,
That's right. It's the last call.
And there is no last call, so...
Wow. Nobody loves us enough to have called 253-237-3321 and left a final voicemail about their favorite card games.
Yeah, well, I guess that's it, then.
I guess it's going to have to be, you know...
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, fuck it. We gotta go. It's been great. It's been fun. It's been great fun. But, you know.
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game!
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. And fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.